Hello, hello, everybody. Just starting a new episode today. I'm Katie Papo, and today we're going to be talking about walking the walk in ending food issues.
Welcome to another episode of Binge Eating to Food Freedom with me, Katie Papo. If you're ready for genuine and lasting freedom from binge eating, emotional eating, or out-of-control food issues, you are in the right place. Subscribe, follow, and enjoy the episode.
Hello, hello. So first of all, I must introduce Laura, who's with me today. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Katie.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I'm very excited.
I'll just introduce a little bit about you before you share your story, but I want to introduce you as someone who really showed up and walked the walk through and through, starting from the day of facing your fear and making the leap. I have been continually inspired by you and how you show up committed to yourself. And today, for everybody listening, we're going to go over some of the big things that stood out as shifts for you. So that way, for those who are ready to walk on this path of ending an eating disorder, ending binge eating, freeing yourself from food issues, this will give you the fire to walk the path. Yes. So would you mind sharing, Laura, your starting point? Like, what was going on with your relationship with food? How did it look on a day-to-day?
Yeah. So, you know, I remember stumbling across your podcast like it was yesterday. It's very vivid for me. So I had tried a diet program that I had lost 40 pounds on, and then gain it all back plus some, as you know, sort of the binge cycle goes. But, and I tried it multiple times. I kept going back to it and I kept being like, okay, I know that this works. I know that I can lose this weight. I just have to work harder. I just have to do better. And I think I was on maybe my fourth time or fifth time. And I just, every time it would be shorter and shorter amount of times that I could actually stay on this program. It was a very restrictive program. It was, you know, I think it was between like 800 and 1,000 calories per day. And the food was the program's food. I couldn't eat my own food except for one meal a day. And in that meal, I could only eat protein and low carb vegetables. And so it was very restrictive. And so it got harder and harder for me to follow. And finally, I got to the point of like, oh my gosh, I need to heal. Like, I couldn't stop eating. And I was like, I think I have some sort of like disordered eating. Like, I think I just need to figure out why I can't stop binging. And I was like, okay, I think I just need to go to therapy. Like, this was the stage I was at. I was like, I got to go to therapy. I've got to figure out what my problem is and why can I not just sort of eat normally? And so I'd called my work's EAP program and I was waiting for a therapist to call me back. And I was like, well, I'm just going to like check out some, see if I can find a podcast or something about binge eating. And maybe I can listen and find out if there's more people like me in the world. And I was out doing yard work and I found one podcast and I was like, the first couple minutes, it didn't really resonate with me. So I moved on. And then yours was the second one that I came upon. And I started listening and like, I think the first three words out of your mouth, I was like, oh my gosh, this is my wife. And so I just started listening and I listened probably to like, I was out in the yard for a while and I probably listened to three or four podcasts of yours. And I was like, okay, this is exactly 100% my story. This is how my brain works. Katie is speaking to me. I need to reach out to her. And so I did, I reached out and the rest, I mean, as you know, when I first reached out, I was like, oh gosh, I can't do this. I couldn't do it. There was too much fear. I was worried about money, all of it. And I think I sat on it for a couple of weeks before I reached back out and was like, I have to do this. And boy, I'm glad I did.
Yeah. I remember you said like, how can I, like, you shifted from like, I can't to like, how can I?
Well, and I did that because I'd listened to your, it was some sort of 5-day training or something that you had. And I remember you talking about that a little bit and being like, shifting your brain from, you know, there's something that you want to do, but it felt impossible. And instead of saying, I can't do this, you ask yourself, okay, what, how can I do this? How can I make this possible for me? And so I did that. I was like, okay, what can I do here to make this work for me and make this possible for me? So, yeah, that's how it went.
So were you afraid?
Oh, I was so afraid. I mean, I've had a terrible relationship with food for almost 30 years. And it's been less about dieting and more about a very restrictive, like, I cannot eat this. This is what's making me fat. This is why, you know, and it's always been, and it's been very obsessive. I've gotten to the point that, like, I was thinking about food constantly. I was dreaming about food. I would wake up in the morning instantly. I'd think first thing I'd be like, oh, I want to go eat. And right before I go to bed, it was just constantly on my mind. And it became super obsessive. And so I tried all of these different things and nothing was working. And I was so petrified. I was like, this is just going to be the same as everything else. Like, it's something wrong with me that these things aren't working. And so I was like, you know, and I felt like this was the last shot for, I was like, this is, I mean, this, it felt so, everything you said felt so like close to my heart and so just in tune with me. I felt like this has to be the thing, but I was so scared that I wasn't going to be successful at it because I sucked at being able to control myself around food.
So what do you think the thing was that made you, I'm always curious about the psychology of taking a leap of faith in something. And what do you think was the thing that made you say, despite my fear, I'm going for it anyway?
I don't like to give up. So, you know, I mean, as many people who do your program, there's that perfectionist piece of me who's always like, I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to figure this out no matter what. It's got to be something. But there's always then in the back of my head being like, okay, you know, I might fail at this too. But I didn't want to quit. I didn't want to give up. I do love myself. I care very deeply about myself. And I wanted to be healthy and I wanted to not be obsessed with food. And all of that was very important to me. And so I was like, I was just like, I'm just going to do it. Plus, you know, there was a lot of speaking with you. You said every single person that joins your program is fearful. Every one of them. It's a scary thing. And I was like, okay, well, at least I'm not alone in the fear, you know? And I was like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it. And, you know, I did.
Yes, you did. So let's talk about when you first started. Were there any either aha moments or memorable moments for you where you could actually get this insight or see, okay, this is working?
Yeah. I think one of the very first things is when I remember this very vividly as well too, because these are these moments that it was just like almost life changing, you know? I was sitting at my son's soccer practice and I was maybe what on the first week of the program or something. And I watched the Any Amount video and I watched that video and I was like in tears watching that video. I sat there crying because I have such a perfectionist mentality. And so anytime I would just, you know, especially even with that diet program that I was just speaking about, like it was so restrictive that even having like one bite of something that I wasn't supposed to have made me feel like I just completely failed and I just, oh, forget it. I can't do this right. I'm just going to go ahead and eat whatever I want anyway. And so it was this very perfectionist mentality. And so watching that video and sitting there and being like, oh my gosh, I'm allowed to be imperfect. Like, that's okay. Like, I don't have to do this thing right all of the time. It doesn't need to be, you know, Laura's either doing it perfect or she's not doing it at all. And that was the biggest, like, I just remember being like, oh, I had this weight lifted off my shoulders. I was sitting there at the soccer practice just crying. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, it is okay to not do this right all of the time. And it, as in a matter of fact, I shouldn't do it right all the time because nobody does anything right all the time. And so it's really better to mess up some. It teaches and you learn and you grow and you become a better person. And all of that just felt, I mean, that was just the biggest thing of like, okay, this is going to be okay. This is going to be great, actually.
And I think that's such a great insight that you had, because what a lot of people don't realize is that that striving for perfection, that all or nothing, but striving for the all the time.
Yeah.
That is actually not only what doesn't create progress, but it actually stops progress in its tracks.
Yeah.
It makes it impossible to progress if you're only in those two camps, all or nothing. And most people spend most of their time in the nothing camp. Like you said, with the diets, it's less and less each time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that was like the one thing that really stuck with me for the entire immersion was this idea of any amount, and it doesn't need to be all or nothing. So like, let's say, you know, I'd be eating something and it wasn't very mindfully. And all of a sudden I check myself. And I'm like, oh, I'm not eating this very mindfully. Well, let me just start doing it right now. That's okay. Like, don't worry about what I was doing those last little bits. Let me just start it now. And then I'll continue and it'll be fine. And it just letting all of that go and being like, it's okay. It's okay that I didn't do this quite right. I'm just going to fix it. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to just make it better now. And I mean, it just stuck with me, and it still sticks with me every day. I think about that. If I'm like, oh, I'm catching myself and I want to change this behavior. Okay. I'll just change it right now. It's okay.
Yes. And this is, I think, one of the biggest mindset shifts that it takes for there to no longer be that having to stick with something, or I'm falling off the wagon, and all that fear of I'm not going to be able to stick with it. Because as soon as you catch yourself, oh, I'm back.
Yes, exactly. And I always think about you saying, oh, okay. You know, like, that just sticks in my head, and I hear you say it, and I can say it to myself. And it's been life-changing. I mean, just life-changing. Absolutely.
Amazing. So if you were to look back to a few months ago, if you were to kind of give some tangible examples of what the shifts have been like, how has your relationship with food changed? How has your relationship with yourself changed? What do you think would be the biggest ones for you to note?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's been so many things. But looking back, I think I've always really loved myself. I have. But I haven't been very kind. And I have not been, you know, I've beaten myself up for years about the way that I look and the things that I eat and, you know, all of these things. And I judge other people. I assume that then they're judging me. And just being able to sort of like look back, that is going away, and that's slowly starting to shift away from me. And not to say that I do not judge myself sometimes. I do, and I probably will for the rest of my life, because it's just sort of human nature. But recognizing that is not things that I need to hold on to, not thoughts that I have to like think of as truth and think of like, this is who I am. I no longer feel that way about myself. You know, I no longer just judge sort of everything that I do and assume that everybody else is sort of judging me as well. And I definitely don't obsess about food anymore. I mean, I don't, I just, I check in with myself, and I'm like, I mean, there's definitely times that I'm like, oh, I feel like sitting down and maybe I'll just, you know, have some potato chips. Like, they sound really great right now. And that's okay. And I will allow myself to have those potato chips, but I don't sit there in front of the TV and just like mindlessly just, you know, binge on these potato chips. And I don't obsess about them anymore. I don't worry about them. If they're in my house, I don't even really think about them. It's not like, okay, is it time of the day that I'm going to allow myself to have one bowl of potato chips, and after that bowl, I can't have any more. And like, you know, there's no drama, as you like to say. There's no drama around this food that I've been, you know, especially, and at work, my goodness, we have so much food at work all the time. And I was always constantly trying to like, okay, don't eat this donut. You can't have this. You've already had this today, so you shouldn't have that. And, you know, but then I'd sit there and I'd be like, I just want this stupid donut. Like, you know, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. And it would just go on and on. And those obsessions aren't there, you know, like if I want a donut, I will have a donut or I won't have a donut. I'll check in with myself and really figure out, not even figure out, but really check in with myself and decide, do I want this donut right now? And if I do, great. And if I don't, maybe I'll have one later. Like, it's okay. It's not super dramatic and obsessive anymore. And I eat when I'm hungry, you know, and not that I don't ever eat when I'm not hungry. I do. I'm a work in progress, right? I mean, I'm still growing and I recognize that this is a journey that I'm going to be taking for the rest of my life. And that's the other thing is that I've been looking forever for something that would be, I always knew that my eating habits needed to be like a lifestyle change. I always knew that I couldn't do some sort of diet and then expect it to be that way. I knew that I just had to sort of like change sort of my relationship or just my lifestyle in general around food. And that's exactly like what this is doing. This is this journey, this lifestyle change, this mental change, this physical change, this, you know, it's exactly that. It's a, you know, this journey of my life that is not, there's no like end point for it, you know?
Yeah, I think that that's such an important key because the idea of freedom, right? It's infinite.
Right.
So we can always deepen and expand our freedoms. And I feel like in the beginning with you, you were getting those like little glimpses of freedom, like forgetting the chips were in the house or leaving something on your plate without trying to leave it on your plate or not really even wanting that thing at work. So it'd be like these little glimpses, but then over time it becomes just an expanded, bigger version of that. It's not like, oh, the light is on and now the light is off. It's just this gradual, like these changes that just keep coming and coming and coming and compounding ultimately.
Right. Oh, completely. And I noticed that about, you know, my wins too, is like, I would notice these little itty bitty wins. And then the more little itty bitty wins, they just sort of grew into these like bigger wins and the wins became more profound and more, you know, just felt bigger. And I just, it's, you know, like this snowball, you know, you start with something small and it just gets bigger and bigger. And so that definitely happens with the freedom too. I mean, it was these little things like, oh, I'd buy some chips and I'd forget that they were in my house or even the time that, you know, that I saw the candy that had been sitting on my son's dresser for ages and I went to go pop it in my mouth. And then I was like, I don't even like this flavor of candy. Like, why am I even going to pop this in my mouth? So I just put it back. And I was like, I didn't even, you know, I was like, it's just nothing. And so those little things, they just sort of, you know, they compound over time. So
yeah, it becomes just less and less of an issue.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And now, I mean, you know, my son has type 1 diabetes. So there's candy in my house. Sometimes when he's low, that's just the quickest and easiest way. And so before I would go raid his candy all the time. I mean, I couldn't help myself. I was like, oh, I'm going to put it in the top shelf of his closet and then I won't remember it's there. And then, you know, and now it's in the house. And, you know, occasionally I'm like, oh, I feel like having one piece of candy and I'll have a piece of candy. I'll just eat it and it won't be any drama. But I don't go like raiding his stuff anymore. And I don't, you know, I don't even really think about it being there. So it's, yeah, it's a big win.
Huge. That's amazing. Win. Isn't this, oh my God, my mind is just like, it's just amazing. Like I see this a lot, obviously, but I just can't get over it.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't. And I remember meeting you in the beginning and it just feels like you're so much more yourself now.
Yeah.
Like so much more of you can come through without the food stuff holding you back.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I mean, even just, I mean, I've gone through some hard stuff lately, you know, between my friend passing away and my daughter, my relationship with her is very strained at the moment and it's painful. It's horrible. It's been awful. But I haven't been eating my feelings through all of it. You know, I haven't been, which was always my coping mechanism. I mean, food has been my coping mechanism since forever. I mean, for as long as I can remember, I'd always be like, oh, I'm angry. I'm going to go eat, you know, this, or I'm really sad. Oh, I need to have all this ice cream, or, you know, like it just felt like if I was having some sort of big emotion that wasn't happiness, or sometimes it was happiness, I was just having some big emotion in general. I was like, I'm going to eat to celebrate or to make me feel better one way or the other. And, you know, that's not happening when I'm going through these hard things that are happening in my life right now. I have not been, just going directly to food. And actually sometimes I'll think about food. I'll be like, I'm feeling really down right now. I think I'm going to have like 4 cookies. And then I'm like, actually, I don't even want, like, that doesn't even sound good right now. Like, that's not the thing that is going to make me feel better right now. You know, I think, and food can be comforting, absolutely. And it has occasionally comfort. There have been times that I've been like, oh, I'm going to eat a little now. But it hasn't been to this point of like, that is the way that I'm coping and dealing with any of this. And I haven't wanted to. It's not like I've had to stop myself from going and binging. It's just, I'll think about it. And I'm like, yeah, I don't even, that doesn't sound good right now. It doesn't sound like that's going to make me feel better right now.
I'm glad you said that, because that is a fear of people who eat to cope, like emotional eating. And there's the fear of, well, if I don't have, you know, food struggles anymore, if I don't emotionally eat, then how will I cope with life? And that's the thing, is the desire to do that is what goes away. Not just the coping mechanism. It's the desire to cope that way. That's the thing that goes away.
Oh, 100%. Like, it's not like I have nothing to help me cope now. It's just, it's different things. Like, that's just not the thing that sounds comforting to help me feel better in that moment at all. And it's been great.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's so awesome. I mean, it's when I look back and I was like, oh man, this, you know, this is just one of those things. And I look back on it now and I'm just like, wow, I'm so just grateful, you know, grateful that you exist and that you have this program for people. Because I felt super stuck and helpless and just like defeated. You know, I felt so defeated, and I don't anymore. And it's great.
So what's your, someone, let's say someone else is in that same boat, stuck, helpless, defeated.
Yeah.
What's your message to that person?
Just do it. Just try, you know, just give it a whirl. I guess the thing that I said to myself is, what do I have to lose, right? I mean, yes, I have some money and I have some time and I have, you know, that feeling of failure. Yes, I do have that to lose, but what do I have to gain, you know? And if the thing that I have to gain is bigger than that, I mean, I can always get more money. I can make more money. I have a job. I can save, you know, money again. And I always knew that no matter what, I would keep trying as much as I felt defeated, because that's just the kind of person that I am. I wasn't going to quit eventually. Like, I was going to just have to figure it out. Maybe I was going to go to therapy, you know, like who knows, whatever it was going to be. But I knew that listening to your podcast and listening to what you had to say, I had never in my life felt so connected to any kind of program around food, right? I mean, because I tried all these weight loss programs and I knew, like, I understood the science behind it and what I needed to do, but it was always the mental piece that held me back, always. And so I never felt this like connection to any kind of program. It was always like, oh, well, you need to, you know, eat less food, or you need to stop thinking about this, or you need to stop worrying about that. And it was never like, nobody ever taught me how. I was like, I get that, right? Like, that makes sense. I understand the things that I need to do, but you're not helping me get to the how do I do it part of it. And listening to your podcast and speaking with you, and I just felt this connection of like, oh, I think this is going to get me to get the how, like, how do I stop these obsessions? How do I make food less powerful in my brain? Because it was so powerful. I mean, food has been so powerful. It's been like really the forefront of my brain for so long. And it had such this strong hold over me that I was like, I don't know how to break that. But listening to you, I was like, I think this is going to be it. And just try it, give it a whirl. Like, what do I have to lose? Right. What do I have to lose? And if this is the thing that finally allows me to stop that power that food has over me, then look how big I've won. You know, like, look how great an accomplishment this would have been. And it did just that. And so I would say just give it a try. Because what do you have to lose? You've tried everything else and it hasn't worked. And so why not try something that is so vastly different, but is so spot on. So spot on and perfect.
Awesome. Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much for sharing your story and for those words, because, and I'll second that. For anybody who's listening and you feel in that stuck, helpless, defeated place, but you also know that you are the kind of person who will never give up on yourself and you're going to keep going no matter what anyway, give it a whirl, because like Laura said, we are so focused on the how to get you the practical strategy that you just need to show up and implement and execute like the boss that you are inside and just do it. And it will work.
It will. I mean, that how is key. That how is so key. You have an antidote to every question. You have an answer for every, you have a way to solve all of the food related problems that anybody in my immersion, you know, during my immersion, you always had a way to, you always had an antidote for whatever that problem was. And those things worked. They did. And half the time I didn't even realize they were my own issues. And then I would hear it and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna give this a try. And it worked like every single time. I mean, not to say that like I didn't have to put in the work. I did. I had to do the work.
Yeah, you did.
You told me. You told me how to do the work. And that was just as 100%, 1000% what I needed. I needed someone to tell me how. And you and Shahar and your program is just about the most amazing thing in the world. And, you know, I mean, I got super weepy when it was getting towards the end. I just was like, you guys are the most amazing humans in the world. I appreciate so much what you do. I appreciate the fact that you've learned this on your own. You learned these things and you're sharing it with people and you are willing to get this out there for people who have been struggling for as long as I have and as long as probably so many of your listeners have. I mean, it just feels like a miracle. It really does.
It is a miracle.
It's a miracle. It is. It's great.
Thank you, Laura. And I also appreciate you bringing up that you benefited from hearing other people's questions who were in the same immersion as you, because that's one of the benefits of a group program like that is you get to hear the answers to questions you didn't even know you had.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there were many times that I had questions I didn't know I had. So it was great. It was so wonderful in every sense of the word.
You are. So for those of you who are ready to reach out, who are ready to take this leap and make these moves, feel free to reach out to me. You can reach out on Facebook or email, and I'll be sure to help you with any questions or concerns you have, and we can get you rolling as soon as you're ready. So thank you again, Laura, for being here, and thank you so much for sharing your story.
And of course, anytime.
Thank you for listening. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe, follow, or leave a kind review. If you're ready to get down to business and work with me to end your food issues permanently, please reach out or go to katiepapo.com for more info. Be kind to yourself, and I hope to see you for the next episode.